address you and to share some words of Torah. When Rabbi Winston reached out to me earlier in the week about speaking, so I said, absolutely, and I looked at this week's Kriya Satorah, Parshas Truman. I was trying to decide what to speak about related to the Parsha. And that's always the first place that I look to when deciding on topics for a weekly shiur. And I was thinking that beyond the specifics of any particular dimension of the Mishkan, the Kelim, so on and so forth, I want to speak about something a bit broader that relates to shuls in general. Because we know that Chazal teach us that every shul is a Beis HaMikdash Ma'at, it is a miniature version of the Beis HaMikdash. And as such, every shul has a tremendous amount of Kedusha. And we also know that every shul also has its areas of contention. And perhaps one of the greatest contentious issues that exist in a shul is the issue of makom kavua. I'm sure that everybody has had the experience that you go to a shul that you don't usually daven at, and you sit down very innocently in a seat, you look around, make sure nobody's sitting in that row, try to find the emptiest section, and you sit down in a row that's all empty. And you're sitting there minding your business, and someone comes up to you and taps you, and they say, "Sir, you're in my seat." Now you look to the right, and the whole row is empty. You look to the left, the rest of the row is empty too. Your mom is in the guy's seat. Has anyone ever had that experience? I know I have. And the man tries to be very nice. He says, "You know, it's my seat." So you get up and you move, but you have a little bit of taste in your mouth that's not so positive. Your first encounter with a new shul is one that's tinged by this interaction. So I thought it would be a good opportunity as we are in the midst of the parshiyos of the Mishkan, which serves as the paradigm for our shuls, to speak about the topic of makom kavua. I want to speak about it from both the perspective of halacha and also from the perspective of hashkafa, and you'll see that this is not going to be the type of shiur where there's going to be halacha first and then hashkafa at the very end, but rather hashkafa will be woven into the very fabric of the shiur. So the idea of makom kavua is not found anywhere explicitly in the Torah, but it is certainly referenced in the Gemara. In source number one, they have in front of you the Gemara Maseches Brachos on Daf Vav Amud Beis. The Gemara reads as follows: Amar Rabbi Chelbo, Amar Rav Huna, Kol HaKoveya Makom Letzvilasa. Whoever sets a location for their prayer, Elohei Avraham VeEzro, the God of Avraham will come to help this individual. Ukishemes, and when this fellow who is Kovea Makom Mitvaso, when he passes away, Omrim Lo, Ey Anav, Ey Chasid, wow, what a humble individual, what a pious individual, Mitamida Shel Avraham Avinu, one of the students of no one else except for Avraham Avinu. The Avram Avinu minalan dekava makom. So the Gemara says, okay, well, how do we know that Avram himself is someone who set a location for prayer? Dechsev, as the pasuk tells us, vayashkim Avram baboker el hamakom asher amad sham. Avram wakes up in the morning, ostensibly to pray, back to the place where he had been standing. And for those of you who have learned the Gemara Maseches Brachos on Daf Chavav, this pasuk will resonate with you. This is the source for the idea that Avram is metakein tefilas shachris. Exactly, but the pasuk serves multiple purposes. In our Gemara, it's telling us that Avram goes back to where he was previously standing. What does that teach us? That you have to daven in the same place. V'ein amida ela tefila, when the Torah tells us that Avram goes back to stand v'makom asher amad sham, that refers to prayer. Shneamar vayamod Pinchas vayipalel. So you see that the word omed doesn't simply mean to stand. It can also mean to pray, to stand for prayer. It doesn't mean that every time the shoresh of ayin mem dalet appears in Tanakh, it means to daven. But we do see from the pasuk regarding Pinchas that amida is sometimes associated with prayer, as it is in the case of Avraham. So this is a Gemara in source number one, as we saw, that if you set a place for prayer, the God of Avraham is going to come to your rescue, and when you pass away, they are going to extol your virtues. You were a humble person, a pious person, a student of no one of less caliber than Avraham Avinu, and brings down a pasuk. Birushalmi, also Maseches Brachos in source number 2, echoes these sentiments in slightly different terms. Amar of Tanchum Bar Chanina, Tzarech Adam Liyachei Lo Makom Bebeis HaKnesses, Lisfalel, a person has to designate a place in Shul to Davin. Uma Tam, what's the reason why? The Gemara quotes a pasuk in Shmuel Beis in the context of David running away in Absalom's rebellion. Vayhi David ba ad Rosh Hahar, and David came to the mountaintop. Asher hishtachaveh sham Elokim inksiv kan. Doesn't say to the place where he bowed down in the past. Ella asher yishtachaveh sham Elokim, the place where he will bow down. In other words, this was not a one-time occurrence, but rather, David davened here, and he will daven here in the future. So now we have two different sources, the Gemaras that are bringing in psukim as a smachta, actually not as a din deraisa or divrei nevi'im. These are psukim to simply support the idea. They have to designate a place for prayer. Is there any difference between the Bavli and the Rishami? Are they teaching us different halachos, or are they essentially telling us the same thing? The Gemara in the Bavli says, Kol HaKoveh Makom Mitfilaso. The Yerushalmi says, Sarech Adam Li'yachei Lo Makom Bebeis HaKnesses. Are they focusing on different points? Yes.
Well, the Yerushalmi says Beis HaKnesses.
Okay, very good observation. Yerushalmi focuses on a shul. The Bavli does not. Good, we're going to come back to that.
Also, yes. The Yerushalmi says, Tzarech Adam, the person is supposed to do it.
Right.
While the Bavli simply says, Kol HaKoveh. If he does it, it's a nice thing.
Right. So the Bavli speaks both more precisely in terms of a shul, and it also uses stronger language, Tzarech, you must, as opposed to the Bavli, which is saying, whoever chooses to do so gets all of these accolades. It's a very good observation, something we're going to come back to. What I would like to do now is to focus on 2 points. So first of all, the Gemara tells us that this is something that we should do. Yerushalmi uses stronger language, but let's assume that both Gemaras are clearly telling us something that is good to do. The Gemara doesn't tell us why. The Gemara simply says you should. And if you do, you get heaping praise. But it doesn't tell you why. So I think we need to spend a little time trying to understand the value of Makom Kahua. Why does the Bavli and Yerushalmi tell us this is something so important? That's question point number one that I want to focus on. And number two is the Bavli. Does anybody have a question about the Bavli? Forget about the fact that it just says Kol HaKoveh.
Well, we have rule called Mishana Makom, Mishana Makom.
Right, okay.
So you think if your tefillah doesn't work in one place...
Interesting, okay, I'm going to come back to that. But is someone bothered by just the nature of the praise here? It's very good to set a Makom Kavua. Okay, very nice. But, I mean... You're called a humble, pious Jew, the student of Abraham, our patriarch. I think there are a lot of other things in Judaism that are probably more significant, that deserve this type of praise. Simply sitting in one place multiple times, that gives you this type of eulogy? Yes. Okay, good. So I want to talk about this. So I just wanted to sort of give you the trajectory of this year. What we're going to first focus on is why this is something that Chazal see as important. They have to select a location for prayer. That's A. And then B, I want to understand why is this decision to sit in the same place so meaningful that we heap on all of this praise, you're an of chassid, tamid shel avraham. What's so significant about the decision that you're making? And then through that, we're going to discuss more. Ultimately, we are going to discuss the question whether or not when you come to shul, should you ask somebody very kindly, of course, to move over. That is the roadmap ahead. So I'm going to go a little bit out of order in terms of the numbers on your source sheet, and I apologize for that, but I think that the roadmap that I have in mind will make the topic even more clearly. So let's go back to the first question. Why did Chazal tell us to choose a location for tefillah? So if you look in source number 5 in the Shulchan Aruch tells us as follows. This is in Shulchan Aruch, Arachayim, Hilchos Tefillah, Simen Tzadichas. HaTefillah hi b'makom HaKorban. When we daven, we are essentially substituting tefillah for korbanos. We should be bringing korbanos, we can't, so we daven instead. Because there is a connection between korban and tefillah, Tzarech li zaher shetehe dugmas hakorban bekavana. We have to do our best to stay focused in our davening. Right? We know that when you bring a korban, you have to have the right kavanos. You have to have the right focus in mind. And if you have intention to eat the korban at a time when you're not allowed to eat it, even just the thought itself passes the korban. What do we call that?
Pigol,
right? Exactly. So you have to have the right kavanos in mind. V'lo ya'arev ba machshava acheres. You can't have a different thought in mind. You know, people like to joke around that after you finish Shmoneh Esrei, you have to bench Gomel. Because by the time you finish, you've already traveled all the way to Eretz Yisrael and then to China, and you thought about your business in London, you came home, so you have to bench Gomel. The point is, you have to do your best to stay focused. Kimo machshava shel poseles v'kadshim. Just like a person's thought can, theoretically speaking, disqualify sacrifices. Uma, dumya, davod, they have to stand just like davod was done. And says the Shulchan Aruch, kvios makom. Kimoha korbanos. You have to set a designated location for prayer, just like they designated a place for their korbanos. Shekol echad kavua mikomo l'shchitaso umatandama. We know that the Torah tells us with details, many, many details, exactly where this korban has to be shechted, which side of the korban, which corner, every single dimension of bringing the korban is really outlined to us. And so therefore, just like the Torah tells us exactly where the korban is to go, we have to replicate that by davening in the same location. So that's why we have this idea of makom kavua. There is a makom kavua for korbanos. Our tfilos replicate the korbanos, and therefore our tfilos also have to have a set location, the idea of makom kavua. This idea is echoed many centuries later by Rebbe Yashiv in his Ha'aros and Maseches Brachos in source number 6. He's quoting this Gemara, Kishameis, Omrim Lo, E Ana, Ve Chasid, writes Rebbe Yashiv, Iker Inyan Kavias Makom B'Tfilo. What's the reason why we have a designated location for Tfila? Hu Mishum Shetfilos Kineged Tmidim Tiknum. Because our Tfilos correspond to the daily Korbanos Neves HaMikdash, Batmidim Makom Kavulahem. So the Korban Tamid in the morning and the afternoon had set locations, and so too our tefillos have to have set locations. And that's probably the most basic reason for Makom Kavua. However, I want to share with you two other more creative approaches to the focus on having a designated location. So if you look in source number 7 in the Piskei Tshuvos, Piskei Tshuvos is a wonderful work that takes many of the more modern halacha svarim and compiles it into one source, one sefer, Piskei Tshuvos. So if you look in source number 7, he quotes from the Kisvei Arizal, from the writings of the Arizal. He brings a beautiful mashal to explain the importance of setting a location for davening. He writes as follows. Uvi Kisvei Arizal hevi mashal na'et, brings a beautiful parable. Lemelech sherotze lilkod chomas ha'ir. You have a king that wants to conquer the walls of a city. So what does the king and his army do? Lokeach kana hasrefa. He takes an arrow that can burn through the walls. You know, one of those arrows that have fire on the tip, I suppose. I'm not a big arrow fellow. But okay, imagine these fancy arrows with fire on the top. V'yore kama pam in b'mokom echad. How do you break through? How do you penetrate the walls? So what you do is you take multiple arrows and you keep shooting at the same location. Eventually, you'll wear away at the wall and you'll be able to penetrate inside. However, aval im tipesh, if a person's a fool, v'yore pam ach pam kan upam kan hachoma nishara shlema. But if you take your arrows, your fancy arrows, and you point one time to the north, then one time to the south, and one time, you're never going to penetrate, because the arrows are always going to be stopped by the wall. They're never going to make their way through. So therefore, says the Arizal as follows: Kach miyom shechara beis hamikdash nase hefsek chomas barzel beinenu la'avinu shebashamayim. From the time the beis hamikdash is destroyed, there is a wall made of barzel, of copper. That is, barzel is iron. Thank you. I knew that didn't sound right. Iron. It's a wall made of iron that separates us from our Father in heaven. It's a very strong wall. Vehatzvila kekanes reifa. Tzvila is like that arrow with fire on the tip. If you keep davening in the same location, in the same place, in the same way, eventually you'll get some success. If one day you daven here, and one day you daven somewhere else, and one day you daven, it's going to be so distracting for you. It's going to be hard for you to focus that your tefillos won't be as effective. If you want to be effective in tefillah, you need the consistency. And that consistency is built through repetition in the same location. It's like the kana hasreifa. It's a very beautiful idea. And really what it underscores is that it is very difficult to daven for everybody. And the less distractions that a person can allow for himself or herself, the more effective the tefillah will be. So how do you diminish your distractions? Don't daven in different spots. Daven in the same spot, because whatever distracts you today won't be that exciting tomorrow. And by the third day, you already don't even notice it anymore. But if you keep davening, oh, you know, I could see the rabbi's bald spot better from this seat than I could from that. You can always be distracted. So you have to stay focused. And how do you diminish those distractions? By davening in one location. And then your arrows will work better. And that's what the Arizal is alluding to. It's a very, very beautiful idea that takes the focus away from korbanos and puts it on our kavanos. So we switch from korbanos to kavanos. The last idea that I want to share with you I found on the Svas Emes' commentary on the Gemara. People are very aware of the Svas Emes and his commentary on Chumash, but people are less aware. He writes a magnificent commentary on Shas, not all of them the Sechtas, but he has a commentary on Brachos. And he says something very interesting. We're going to come back to his point in a little bit, but let's look at source number 4 right now. This is going on the Gemara Masechet Brachos. Daf Vav says the Svas Emes, the Gemara Kol HaKoveh Makom LeTfilah. So lefi sheshivach mikodem tefila betzibur beis haKnesses. If you open the Gemara to Daf Vav, you'll see that previously the Gemara was speaking about the importance of davening in a shul with a minyan. Amru Khan. Ooh, what is this Svas Emes saying? Svas Emes is saying, even when you're davening in your home, right? Even when you're davening in your home, sometimes I ask my Baal HaBatim, I missed you on Shabbos, where were you? They saw, you know, I was davening by the horizontal Rebbe. So, okay, I got it. So even if you're davening at home by the horizontal Rebbe, means you're, I think everyone understands what I'm saying. Okay, so if you're davening at home, kishe koveya mako miyucha letzvila, even in your home, if you can designate a specific location where you daven, yesham hachana. There's, he means over here, I don't know, he means like this preparation means you're going to be more effective in your tefillah. Why? Listen to this unbelievable statement of the Svas Emes. Listen to this. Kimo sheyesh zichus hitstarfus harabim. Just like when you come to shul and you join with fellow members of the community, so your tefillah is absolutely more effective because you have the zechus of the rabbim. So kein yesh hitstarfos harbe zmanim, mashem espalo bechol yom vayom b'makom zeh miyuchad chal ha'aras hakedusha sham. Wow, says this Svas Emes as follows: just like when you come to shul, you have the zechus of the rabbim that everybody comes together to daven. If you daven at home, if you can't make it to shul, but that's always the place you daven in your home, then you have the zechus of the znanim, how many times you've davened. All of the times that you've davened in that location become a zechus for your tefillah. It empowers your tefillah. It makes your tefillahs more effective. Obviously, we should be going to shul, but if we can't go to shul, if we daven in one location at our home, it magnifies the potency of the tefillah because you have the hitstarfus, you have the connection of all of the times that you've davened. V'lachein asr l'shanos hamakom. Isn't that a beautiful idea? Really beautiful idea. Not just the koach harabim, but the koach hazmanim. How many times you've davened. So essentially what we have seen thus far is three different reasons why Chazal want us to daven in the same location. We saw that the Shulchan Aruch says dumya to tefillah, dumya to korban, just like a korban has a set location. Our tefillos parallel that with a set location. We saw the beautiful writings of the Arizal, the Mashal, that the efficacy of our tefillah becomes better the more we stick with the same routine, the same location. And lastly, that even if we are in our homes, if we daven in the same place, we're able to build off of the many times we've davened in that spot, which enhances the efficacy of our tefillah. So three different reasons why we put value on makom kavua. Yes?
Now, but why then has the minhag arisen that during the oval year one retreats from one's regular seat? You think we'd always
right, that's a very good... I have not given that any thought. I don't know. I'd have to think, raising a very interesting point. If makom tefillah is so important, so why do we tell the avel to move? It's a good question. The truth, I'm not so familiar with... I understand the halacha. I'm familiar with the halacha, but to talk about it on a deeper level, I'm not prepared to do so. So I want to...
It says like there's a cherev over the avel. It's like... That makom might not be a good makom at that time.
Something along those lines.
Because the Gemara says that all the Bnei HaBura should be afraid that
Something along those lines. Okay, so we have now three reasons why makom kavua is important. Let's now move to the second question we asked before. Why the heaping praise? All right, it's a good thing to set a location for tefillah. I like my seat. I get used to it. I can focus better, diminish the distraction. Okay, so we should tell, the Gemara should say, when that person passes away after 120, we say, the fellow was a good Jew. But, hey, Anav, a chassid, mitamidav shel Avram Avinu, I mean, what is the deal? What could be the reason for this heaping praise? So let's look at Rabbeinu Yonah in source number 3. Rabbeinu Yonah has a very clever way of dealing with this issue. He writes as follows, V'yesh makshim, there are those that ask, just because somebody davens in the same location, we extol their virtues to such a degree? How can the Gemara say, just because they set a specific location, note that Rabbeinu Yonah says bebeso in their home. Okay, we'll come back to that in a little bit. But conceptually, it's the same compelling question if you're in your home or in your shul. What is the big deal? So look what Rabbeinu Yonah writes in source number 3. Says Rabbeinu Yonah, paragraph 2, V'yesh lomar, shelo amru ba'avur kviyas hamakom bilvad. No. We're not giving all of this praise simply because you designate a location. Elorotza lomar. What is the reason for the praise? Shekol kach midaktek bitfiloso. Shegam bazehu nizhar. Sherotze tishetehe tvilasom bimakom miyuchad. So what's Rabbeinu Yonah saying? Rabbeinu Yonah is saying as follows. I'll use different halachic terminology. Sometimes when you're involved in a real in-depth analysis, you have to ask, is this a simen or is this a siba? Is this a root cause or is this simply a reflection on something else? So Rabbeinu Yonah is telling us over here, this is not a root cause. Just because you sit in the same seat, that does not make you deserving of such praise. But really, it's reflective. It is a simon. It's a reflection on something greater. A person must care so much about his tefillah. It must work at it. It must be consistent, to the extent that even he sits in the same chair. Sitting in the same chair by itself is worthless. I shouldn't say worthless. It doesn't add enough value to praise the guy the way the Gemara praises the guy. That's Rabbeinu Yonah, it's simply reflective of somebody who cares a lot about their tefillah, and that's why they must also have a makom kavua. V'kevan shekol kach hu ohev ha-tefillah, because the person loves his davening so much, v'adai midas anava yeshbo, and then of course, if they care so much about davening to the extent that they even have a makom kavua amongst all the other really important things, well, such a person for sure is going to be an anav. For sure. The kevan sheiran, going back and reading again. The kevan shekol kachu ohe b'atvila. If he loves davening so much, vada minas anava yeshbo, he must be someone that's very humble. Kedei shetei tvilasa mikubelis lifnei makom. Because after all, if you want Hashem to listen to your tvilos, you have to be humble. Kinyan shenemar zivche lokim ruach nishbara. The real sacrifices are a broken heart. Sheim lo ye lo hanava. Lo yuchal lo olam hispalo bekavana velo tiyem mikubelis lifnei hamakom baruch hu. Because if you don't have humility, Hashem's not listening. So basically, what Rabbi Yonah is telling us is that this Gemara is not really focusing on one particular detail. It's a composite picture. We're taking all of the beautiful things that a person must do when it comes to tefillah. We're adding them all up and making a couple of assumptions. Oh, such a person, by the end of his life, must be worthy of such praise. It's not that Makum Kavua itself is that grand. It's what it represents, what it reflects. Oh, that's really grand. Let's look at the last paragraph. V'kevan shezocha la'anava, yezocha l'mitas hachasitas. And listen, if you're already going to be pious, because you must be pious, so then you will be zocha to becoming, I'm sorry, if you're already humble, because you got to be humble to have your tefillos accepted, then you must be pious as well. V'kevan shezocha la'anava, yezocha l'mitas hachasitas, shehi gedola yoser, she'achas go remes l'chaverta. Because one causes the other. If you're humble, you'll be pious. And so Rabbi Yonah says, that's why the Gemara can offer such praise for such an individual, because when you look at the totality of the picture, which must be the case, deserving of such praise. What do we think, Chavra? It's a little bit of a stretch, right? It's kind of working it backwards. The Gemara tells you what it tells you, and you have to come up with something. So Rabbi Yonah came up with something. But it's hard. It's hard because the Gemara really is focusing on Makom Kavua. So Rabbi Yonah is taking that little detail and building an entire picture and saying the person must care about all dimensions of tefillah, including anav, and if you're an anav, you must be a chassid. So hence the praise of the Gemara. It's a stretch. It's a stretch. I think Rabbi Yonah is trying to understand why the Gemara is speaking in such exaggerated terms for such a minor point. I don't want to say minor, but just, you know, it's not, in the scheme of things, it's a minor point. So that's what Rabbi Yonah comes up with. Okay, interesting. The Sfas Emes, in the very same commentary that we were reading before in source number 4, he focuses in specifically on why Avram Avinu. So who can remember, according to the Sfas Emes, what are the terms of the Gemara? We're talking about Tefillah B'Tzibur or Tefillah B'Bayis. We're talking about Tefillah B'Bayis, exactly. Talking about davening by yourself. Who is the first Jew that had to daven by himself? Knew? Avram Avinu, there was nobody else. He never had a minion. He was the only guy. So that says, Sfas Emes, is why the Gemara focuses on Mitamidav Shel Avram Avinu. Because Avram never davened with a minion. He didn't have a minion. So when you're davening by yourself, if you're mitzaref all the zmanim, like the Sfas Emes so beautifully writes, so Elokei Avraham be'ezro, it's the God of Avraham in particular who comes to help you. Okay, I want to end off this section with two other ideas. The first is from Rav Yashiv in source number 6, paragraph number 2. Why is this such a meaningful act that we receive all of this praise? So Rav Yashiv really echoes what Rabbi Yonah writes in source 6, paragraph 2. V'hanira bazel dar chapshat. What's the simple explanation? Shehakoveya mako mitfiloso, hare lanu shemakbid af al kala kibichamura. If you're careful to dive in the same spot, it reflects this idea that you're careful about the small stuff just like the big stuff. Umechavim bitfiloso karoi, you're gonna have the proper focus. Veroi likra anavichasid, and therefore you're someone deserving of being called both a humble and a pious individual. Very similar to Rabbi Yonah. His last interpretation is great. I get a real geschmack at this last suggestion why we have the significance of Makom Kavua. He writes as follows, V'adarech tzichus nira, like sort of a lighthearted remark. He says as follows, the last paragraph in 6. Shamispalo bebeis haknesses bederech kaiva. If you daven in the same shul all the time, pa'amim shekaimim bo ritzonos nosafim bebeis haknesses milvad avodas hatfila. You know, you're a member of the shul, you're not some slouch, you've been there for a long time, you're one of the people that started the shul. You feel like you deserve a little kavod. Maybe not Master Yonah, but all right, listen, I should get an aliyah every couple of weeks. I mean, I'm one of the founding members of the shul. I should be able to daven musaf. I have a yeretz out of this or that. The gabbai didn't ask me. You're there long enough in the same shul, you feel entitled. Ah, im nishar hu tamid ba'oso makom. But if you stay in your chair, av shelo kavduhu kehogan, even if they don't honor you appropriately, hare lanu raya bo she'ana v'chasid. Ooh, that's reflective of someone who truly is humble and pious. Shein bo el avodas Hashem. Isn't that gishmak, Rabosai? A beautiful interpretation. In other words, kol hakoveya makom mitzvilasa means if you sit in your chair, and even when you think you deserve to be called out of your chair for some kavod, you sit where you are, and you don't make a big macha, that person truly is an anav. That person truly is a pious individual deserving of being called the Tamida Shel Avram Avinu. Okay, it's not the pshat, which is why Rav Yashu says, Derech Tzachos, Tzachos, is like a lighthearted comment, but it certainly reflects something that experientially, I think many of us know to be true. The longer we stay in a shul, the longer we feel entitled to the kavod, and that might be correct. But a gabbai's job is a thinkless job that can never be done fully correctly. Gabbai's tried to do their best. They're going to miss you a few times. And if you're still able to be koveya makum mitzvilaso, sitting tight in your chair and not making a big stink, that individual is really worthy of great praise. I really enjoyed that interpretation of Rav Yashiv. So essentially, we have now, I would say, two schools of thought in terms of why the Gemara exaggerates the terms of this idea of being koveya makom, even like Rabbi Yonah and Rav Yashiv on the one hand, that it's really reflective of something greater, or this more lighthearted, whimsical comment of Rav Yashiv that if a person knows how to be mochel on their kavod, they deserve such great praise. Okay, so far so good. We now understand the source of this idea of makom kavua. We understand why Chazal think it's important to set a makom kavua, and we also understand why there's such praise for someone who does so. But now let's get into the nitty-gritty of the halacha itself. Let's try to understand the scope of the mitzvah. When does makom kavua apply? So if you remember when we looked at Rabbeinu Yonah, right, what word did Rabbeinu Yonah use that we pointed out? The word Rabbeinu Yonah is beso, beso. Rabbeinu Yonah is talking about someone who sets a location in their home. This is Rabbeinu Yonah l'shitaso, because if you look in source number 7, Rabbeinu Yonah is going to knock us out of our seats. No more makom kavua anymore. Knock us out of our seats. Look what Rabbeinu Yonah writes in source 7, kol hakoveya makom mitzvilaso, Elohei Avraham yebe Ezra. Lo amar zeh b'mekomos shabes haknesses. Wow. What does that mean? According to Rabbeinu Yonah, the whole idea of makom kavua was not taught in regard to a shul. So anyone that has ever come up to you and said, sir, you're in my seat, you can tell him, sir, you're not maritz. Look at Rabbeinu Yonah, Maseches Brachos. Because the whole idea of makom kavua, I don't really think that anyone should do that. I know this is recorded, I don't want any misconceptions. But Rabbeinu Yonah really limits the scope of the Gemara. You know what I'm saying? We're talking about a shul. We're not talking about a shul, we're talking about a home. The kevan shekula makom tefilahi, because after all, when you come to a shul, if it's all a makom tefilah, ein lahakbid im yoshev pa'amim bezavizu, upamim bezavizu. What difference does it make where you sit? A shul is a shul. So why should it matter? From the perspective of makom kavua, once you have encountered the kedushas beis hakneses, so it's all good. Ella wrote Lomar, so what's the Gemara teaching us? Shekoveya mako mitzvilaso beveso. You should set a location in your home. Shepamim shenu yochol lalaches lebeis hakneses, because sometimes you can't make it to shul. Mispalo bebeso umiyachin makom yadu lakach. So set a specific chair where you always daven, and that'll be your seat, and then you go back to the svasemis and all the other things talked about. But according to Rabbeinu Yonah, the entire idea of sitting in the same seat in a shul is not founded in our text. According to Rabbeinu Yonah, the scope is severely limited, and it's only in one's home. That's where makom kavua applies. Okay, so then where do we get this idea of kicking someone out of their seat?
What does it do with Yerushalmi?
Ah, very good. Hold on, very good. Okay, good. So look at the rush. You're already ruining all of what I wanted to say. Baruch Hashem, it's great. So look at the rush in source number 8. The rush writes as follows. Lo ba'i l'meimar shehe ragil hispalel bebeis haknesses achas. The Gemara doesn't need to tell you they should daven in one shul. Aval imu mispalel be'achas mishnei mekomo shakir dami. But if you daven in two places in the same shul, that's okay. That's not, that meaning, what the Rosh is saying is don't misinterpret the Gemara as saying you should just daven in one shul. That's not what the Gemara is saying. According to the Rosh, the Gemara is teaching us that you should have one place within one shul.
That's what you should. That's what you should aim to have. Da'aminan bi Yerushalmi, right? He quotes the Yerushalmi Perek Tzvilas Hashachar. Amar Rabbi Tamchum Rabbi Chia Tzarech Adam Liyachi Lomakul Beis Haknesses. He quotes the Yerushalmi. So what you have over here is a machlokas between Rabbi Yona and the Rush regarding where Makom Kavua is stated. Is Makom Kavua at your home, in your home, like Rabbi Yona, or is it in a shul? And you correctly said that, in fact, this is not a machlokas between Rabbi Yona and the Rush. This is really a machlokas between the Bavli and the Rishami. I don't even know if you'd call it a machlokas, per se. In other words, they're both true. You should have a space to daven in your home, and you should have space to daven in your shul. But both exist because they're two different sources. Rabbi Yona is reflecting the Bavli. If you look carefully at the language of the Bavli, just for a moment to go back, the Bavli says, Kol hakoveya makom litvi lasso. You should set a place to daven, meaning in your home, daven in the same location. And the Yerushalmi says, Sarich adam liyachelo makom bebeis haknesses. So the machlokas I just showed you between Rabbi Yona and the Rush is really a machlokas between, again, I'm using the word machlokas somewhat tongue-in-cheek. It really reflects two different dimensions. The Bavli speaking about davening in your home, and the Yerushalmi is speaking about davening in the shul. And from the Yerushalmi's perspective, echoed by the Rush, even in a shul, you should have one location where you daven. And that certainly resonates, if you go back, thinking about the Shulchan Aruch, right? In the Shulchan Aruch's reasoning, we have Kvius Makom because of the Korban. The Korban wasn't offered, and he didn't just say, oh, well, I got to the Azara, I'm able to shecht there. You had to shecht in a specific location. So even in a shul, you have to sit in a specific chair. And if you think about the mashal of the Ariza with the arrows, the more you're able to diminish your distraction sitting in the same location, the more effective your tefillos will be. So the Yerushalmi certainly makes sense. And the answer is really both are correct. But if you look in the Shulchan Aruch, he adopts the position of the Rush. In source number 9, Yikvem makom litzvilaso, a person should set a place for prayer. Shelo yishanehu im lo litzorech. And you shouldn't move unless there's a compelling reason why you need to do so. Ve'ein di'ay b'mashe yikveh lo beis haknesses l'spa. It's not enough just to designate a shul. You have to have a spot within the shul. Elagam b'beis haknesses shekavua ba. Even in your shul, you should have a particular chair. So the Shulchan Aruch echoes the sentiments of the Rush, which is really echoing the sentiments of the Yerushalmi, that even in a shul, you should have a makom kavua. So now, if I would stop here, Rabosai, everybody would be emboldened. You'll come to shul tomorrow or today, next Shabbos. Someone's in your chair. There are a whole row of empty seats, but you say, you get out of my chair. That's my chair. That's my makom kavua. Open up a Shulchan Aruch. Look at Siman Sadi. I have to daven in my same location. Is there any flexibility here? Is this an absolute halakha? So if you look in the Magen Avraham in source number 10, you'll see that it is not considered to be something that is absolute to the extent that we're not willing to make an exception. First of all, the Magen Avraham rules in source 10, makom kavua, v'nirali detoch dalin amos chashiv makom kavua, that as long as you're within dalin amos, approximately 7.5-8 feet, as long as you're within dalin amos, that's still considered your makom kavua, de efshar litzamtim, because it's impossible to be precise. So nowadays, now we have chairs and these fancy pews. Everybody probably can be mitzamtim. And probably the Magen Avraham was talking about a time when they sat in benches, and how do you exactly know where your spot was on the bench? It's impossible to do that precise. But the point is that makom kavua means set a general location where you daven. But it doesn't have to be the exact chair. As long as you're within a few feet of where you usually daven, that's your makom kavua. That would be sufficient, according to the Magen Avraham. On top of that, the Piskei Tshuvos quotes from the Kaf HaChaim, who says as follows: "Ve'od ayin Kaf HaChaim im korev and im tzaim besamach l'mkomo b'nei adam hatordim oso b'tfilah." So let's say you pick a seat, you move into a community, pick a seat, and you soon realize that that seat is the talking spot in the shul. Halavai, that shul should only have one talking spot, but there is a talking spot in the shul, and you mamish right into it. But it's your makom kavua now. So the Kaf HaChaim says this is not an absolute halacha. And if a person is finding himself in a spot that's not conducive for tefillah, yishane mekomo, change your spot. So this is not an absolute halacha. This is a guideline that we follow as best as we can. But there's a little bit of leeway. You come to shul, you see someone in your seat. If you sit to the seat over, there's no problem. According to the Magen Avraham, you're for sure within Dalai Lama. So what's the problem? The Kaf HaChaim also shows you there's leniency here. So now with all of that in the cooker, let's focus on the last segment. You come to shul, you see someone in your seat. Let's say, for argument's sake, you come a little bit late. I could never imagine anybody doing that. All right? You come a little bit late to shul, and the row is already taken. So you don't even have the Magen Avraham. Your mamish are going to be without, we're going to be beyond Dalai Amos. You never have to sit in the chairs that are always open, which are always where? In the front of the shul by the rabbi. It's the same thing as a teacher. For some reason, the front rows are never taken. They're always fill up from the back first. It's like the opposite of boarding a plane. Boarding a plane is the chus to go first. But in a classroom setting, it's not the case. Okay, so you have the whole row is taken. You always sit in your chair, and you come to shul, and there's some guy who has the chutzpah naira to sit in your chair. Now, let's make things worse. There's a plaque that says your name on this chair. Did the guy not read the plaque? I mean, come on. Does the guy not know how to read? So what do you do? Of course, you go over and say, sir, get the heck out of my chair. Maybe? So let's see. So this is the last part of the shir. Should I mamish kick someone out of my chair? So if you look in the Rambam in source number 12, the Rambam talks about the 8 items that are necessary, sort of prerequisites, to have a correct tefillah experience. The Rambam says, Shmona devarim tzarech ha-mispalel hizahir bohen v'lasosan. 8 things need to happen in order to be successful, to be correct and ready for davening. The Rambam gives a whole list in terms of standing, facing the right direction, having your body be clean, the right clothing on, and the Rambam says, "V'tikun hamakom." You have to have your spot. In Halacha Vav, the Rambam says further, "Tikun hamakom ketzad yamo b'makom namoch." The opposite kind of the kotel, you should stand in a low spot, facing the wall. In the context of that, he says, "V'kosegya makom mitzvivaso tamid." You should always have the same location, Makom Kavua. What could counterbalance the focus of Makom Kavua? So very beautifully, we know in the Sefer HaChinuch, he has every Sefer HaChinuch, at the end of the mitzvah, he gives you a reason for the mitzvah, Mishor Sheha Mitzvah, the reason for the mitzvah. The mitzvah of Avas Hager, which is one of the most common mitzvos to come up in the Torah, the Sefer HaChinuch says, we learn from the mitzvah of Avas Hager not only to love Gerim, but to be compassionate to those who are out of place. Even if they are Jews from birth, if they don't live in your neck of the woods and they come to you, you have to have rachmanis on such a person. That's an outgrowth of the mitzvah of Avas Hager. Writes the Sefer HaChinuch, v'yesh lonu lilmod min ha-mitzvah ha-yikara ha-zos, L'rachem al adam shehu be'ir she'eno eretz moladeto u'makom mishpachto u'makom mishpachas avos. The person doesn't come from he's not from these parts of town. V'lo na'avir olav haderech bim tza'enu oso yachid. You shouldn't pass over him if you find him alone. V'rachako me'alav ozrav. You shouldn't distance yourself from helping him. In other words, the mitzvah of Avas Hager is not only the commandment to be kind to those who are literally converts. It's the mitzvah to be compassionate and kind to those who are out of place. So with that in mind, let's look at a tshuva from Rav Zilberstein, Chashuk Echemed. For those of you who have ever learned the tshuvos from Rav Zilberstein, you know, Ha'arevna, Chashuk Echemed, some of the questions are, wow, like you can't even imagine that it really happened. This, you can imagine. In fact, it's a very pointed question. It was asked as follows, Ne'amar v'mesechus brachos davav v'mebeis kol ha'koveh makom mitfiloso elokei Abraham be'ezro. The Gam Namar Brachos Dav Zayin quotes another Gemara which talks about it, and he quotes the Rambam which talks about the 8 things that are necessary for tefillah, Makom Kavua being one of them. Next paragraph. Yesh la'ayin. Ma hadin im ba oreach mi makom acher. What happens if a guest comes from a different spot? V'it yashiv al mekomo shebeis hakneses. And he has the audacity, the chutzpah neira, to sit in your seat. Ha'im yivakshu be'adinus. Can you ask him kindly, lavor lemakom acher, kihu makomo hakavu? Can you go up to someone gently and say, you know, sir, this is my seat. If you don't mind just moving over a couple seats, I always dive in there. O Shema, or do you say Me'achar v'ne'emar b'sefer mitzvos hakotzar mitzvos samechalif mitzvos asei le'ahov es hager? Or do we know, since there is a mitzvah to love love converts, u'perish ger hu sheba mi'aretz acheres mi'ir acheres, I brought it to you from the Sefer Chinuch, the idea of expanding the parameters of avas hager not only to the ger but to anybody. So that's the give and the take. Do you follow the Rambam, the importance of Kovei Makom and all the other sources which you talked about? Or you say, this person is sitting in a chair, he's a ger. So, v'im kein, yesh lo lishko, ma adif al ma, what's better? Ha'im l'spalo b'makom kavua, u'v'prat b'idna d'rischa, sho'ivenu kamolenu, is it better to dive in the same location, especially in times of tzaris? We need every help we can when it comes to tfilos. Or should we be concerned that maybe the ger, again, not literally the ger, someone that's not usually from these parts, will feel bad? What should we do? So, right, so Gilbert's seen the last page. Tshuva Yashir, I don't know if it's the last page for you, but my set of copies is the last page. Yishair es mikomo le'oreach, leave the spot to the guest. V'hu yispala shelo v'mikom ha'kovua. And you dive in a different place. Mishum Shenem Rasham Berambam, because he quotes the Rambam, which I unfortunately did not include in the source sheet. V'im haya dachuk v'ne anas. The Rambam talks about someone if it's beyond their control and they can't sit in the same location, so don't ein ma'achin. V'lachem im hamakom ha'kavua tachos ayide oreach. Therefore, if the spot that you daven in has a guest sitting there, harizya kilu dachuk v'ne anas. It's like it's beyond your control. You're in a tight situation. Me'achar v'kayim chashash shem ya'aleiv. Since there is a concern that the guest might feel bad. V'kachu gam lashon shulchan aruch. And this is also lashon shulchan aruch, which we sort of went quickly through. Yikva makom mitzvilaso shali shenehu im. What does the shulchan aruch say? Im lo letzorech. Unless there's another reason. If there's another reason, then don't sit in your seat. If you come to shul and your chair is empty, so sit in your seat. It's wonderful. But if there's another reason, there's someone there, and therefore there are other mitzvahs such as the mitzvah of Avas Hager, absolutely don't sit in your seat. That's another reason. It's a good reason to give up a makom kavua. It's not an absolute halacha, as we've talked about. Don't worry, says Rav Zilberstein, if you're looking to daven with efficacy, so giving up, being mochel on your zechus of sitting in that seat, that itself brings you zechuyos. And that will allow your tefillah to be effective. And that is what a person should absolutely do. You come to shul, and you see somebody that is sitting in your chair. It doesn't make a difference if the whole row is full, the whole row is empty. Let somebody else sit there. You'll find a different chair. I have myself witnessed so many times. People feel emboldened. That's my chair. The plaque is my name. I deserve to sit there. And it's very short-sighted. Because there are clearly sources that we've discussed regarding the idea of makom kavua, but like in anything in Judaism, it's a value judgment. And there are values that are more important when it comes to this halacha, the value of avas hager, the value of making people feel included and welcomed in a shul, trumps the halachos of makom kavua. And I was just thinking to end off with just a beautiful short divrei hashkafa about this point. We know the Mishnah Maseches Avos tells us that Asara Nisim Na'asu La'avo Sinu Beis HaMikdash. There were 10 miracles that happened to the Jewish people in the times of the Beis HaMikdash. One of them was Omdim Tzifufim. They would stand all bunched together, all very, very tight. U'mishtachavim Revachim. But when they would bow down, obviously take up a lot more space when you bow down, there was enough space. How did that work? You're so tight when you're standing, but when you bowed, it was okay. Says the Rambam as follows, 16, when they bowed down, they didn't feel too tight. They didn't fight with each other, it wasn't pressurized, it was very easy. Why? Because they didn't feel the need to jostle with the other person. They had this tremendous sense of yiras hamakom. They understood that they walked into the Beis HaMikdash. It was an experience of encountering the Kedusha of the Almighty. And when you have that perspective, then suddenly, being a little bit tight next to your fellow didn't feel so tight because you had a different perspective. You had a certain breath of fresh air that allowed you the ability to bow down, even when you were very, very tightly packed. It didn't feel tightly packed because you had the Mora HaMakom. It's interesting, this is a shir by itself, so according to the Rambam, was it not really a miracle? Okay, we'll leave that for another point. But I just wanted to draw your attention to the idea of Lerov Moram B'Makom Ahu. When you walk into a shul, you are walking into a Mikdash Ma'at. And that demands a certain mora'am ba'makom, a certain awe of the location that you're walking into, that you're encountering. And if you have that sense of mora ha'makom, so then you're not going to feel so emboldened and so entitled to kick someone out of their seat. You'll have a more healthy perspective about the mitzvahs of ahavas hager. You'll have a healthy perspective. You'll have that sense of calmness to welcome those who are not usually in your shul, and you can treat them with the respect and dignity that every single guest does deserve. So I hope you enjoyed this journey through a concept that we're generally familiar with, but hopefully through the sources we have a much deeper appreciation for all of the different nuances. So one or two questions, and I have to get going.
If you want, that is usually in your shoes,
right?
In your place.
Right. So that I think is a good point. I think that the other side of the coin here is that when you do daven in a shul, consistently, you have to be respectful in terms of who sits where. When you move into a community and you're going to be in that community going forward, you should ask the gabbai, you know, I'm new here. I don't want to sit in someone's seat. Where should I sit? So that's important too. If you're going to be there, if it's your new makom kavua,
someone that is usually in the yoshu,
right,
sits your place. So you can tell him something or not.
Yeah, so I think you have to use your discretion. In other words, if someone is just, they moved in recently, they don't know yet all of the ropes, that's one thing. If someone who you know always davens there and is just not being so sensitive to you, so he's not being so sensitive. This is not an absolute situation. You have to use your discretion. When it comes to guests, it's easy. Let him sit there. Yeah. If it's someone that's more routinely coming to your shul and knows that's your seat, so the onus is really on him to be more respectful to you and your makom kavua. Yeah, that's a good point.
There's another aspect. When I come to shul and someone's sitting in my seat, that means he's been on time to shul. I'm late.
Right.
She's got more.
So, okay, so that's also you have to consider. If you really want your seat, you care so much about Makom Kavua, get there on time. Okay, Yashakoach, everybody. A pleasure to share a Divrei Torah.
Thank you very much.
You can talk about what happens if you lose your